Jerry Mueller is professor of history at Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C., and author of the book The Tyranny of Metrics, out in paperback from Princeton University Press. Thanks for speaking to KD&K, Jerry.
My pleasure to be with you.
So tell us, what prompted you to write this book and how you decided to lay it out?
Well, I've long been professionally an historian of capitalism and its institutions, and I've long been interested in the history of public policy, and those sort of general considerations were lurking in the background. But it was actually an experience in my own personal professional life that led me to become interested in this question of why contemporary institutions were more and more dominated by metrics and some of the negative effects that was having. In this case, I was chair of my department, and that was a position that I rather enjoyed, and I thought I was doing perfectly well at in terms of the normal functioning of hiring new faculty and making sure the right courses were taught and those sorts of things. And then at a certain point, there were more and more demands from the university administration for more and more data, often data that was supposed to be that had to be created in new forms. So instead of the existing system of evaluating our rising seniors, which was grades, we now had certain categories that were dictated by the university and that we had to fit people into. And when I asked the provost and others in the university administration why there was this demand for more and more data, they said, we don't really need it, but the accrediting agency that accredits American universities demands more and more of this kind of metric data from us. And as I investigated, I found that that organization in turn was responding to demands from the U.S. Department of Education, which under the George W. Bush administration had passed No Child Left Behind, which was based on the notion of gathering more and more metric data and rewarding and punishing schools accordingly, and they were increasingly extending that kind of mentality to the university system. And when I investigated further, I found that what the American Department of Education had been doing was in fact part of a much larger trend, which in government went under the name of New Public Management, but which was much more widespread in a very wide range of organizations, from business to nonprofits to policing and primary and secondary education. And much of it was based upon this idea that human judgment is fallible, it's prejudiced, it's biased, that experience matters a lot less than standardized measurements of human performance, and that people respond to incentives. So when their standardized measures of performance are high, we ought to reward them, and when they're low, we ought to punish them or fire them, and that making these standardized measurements of the performance of people and organizations public under the term transparency or accountability was always a good thing. And the more I investigated this, the more I saw that in one organization after another and in one realm after another, this combination of trying to replace experience and expertise with standardized measurement and then rewarding and punishing organizations or individuals on the basis of those standardized measures and making those measures public in the form of rankings or ratings, that this combination was often dysfunctional and even disastrous, and that many of the same kinds of problems that arose in one realm, say policing, arose in another realm, like medicine or education. And that led me to write this deliberately short book where I talked a bit about the history of how this culture of what I call metric fixation came about, and then to look at when it was functional and when it was dysfunctional in a wide range of organizations, from primary schools to university education to medicine to policing to foreign aid and so on, and then to try to summarize for readers the kinds of problems that typically arose from this reliance on metric fixation and how to go about using metrics, which of course can be genuinely useful, how to go about using them in ways that avoids the dysfunctions.
That's Professor Jerry Mueller, author of The Tyranny of Metrics. And I want to ask you about the key beliefs that you challenge in this book. Can you lay those out?
Sure. The key beliefs are that it's always a good thing to, first of all, to replace judgments about people and organizations that are based upon judgments that are based upon experience and expertise with standardized measures of performance. Secondly, that it's always a good thing to reward, to use incentives to reward and punish people based upon those standardized measures. And thirdly, that it's always a good thing to make those standardized measures public. It's that combination of things that I call metric fixation, and that often leads to dysfunctions in ways I'd be happy to describe if you're interested.
Yeah, I want to ask you to give a couple examples of when, of course, you know, you and I and others listening would think transparency is always good, always be transparent. But what are some examples where trying to be more accountable has actually gummed up the works?
Well, one example is in the field of surgery. About 15 or 20 years ago, some states in the United States started to publish surgical report cards. These were annual reports that were publicly available online of the record of relative success and failure of surgeons at various operations, standardized operations, so various kinds of heart surgery, various kinds of heart surgery, for example. And what it was discovered after a while that one of the effects of that, first of all, one of the effects of this, of course, was to influence the reputation of the surgeon. So if they had a high ratio of failures to successes, or they didn't have complete successes and had a certain number of failures, that would damage their public reputation since these scorecards were made public. And similarly, if they had an excellent record according to these standardized measures, that would improve their reputation. Well, one of the ways in which surgeons reacted to this was by avoiding operating on patients who were riskier, whose operations were less likely to be successful because they had more complex situations. So that they had, if they had, for example, more comorbidities, more things wrong with them. So the surgeon's report card would look very good because his operations would almost always be successful, but that was at the price of those patients who were never operated on and who therefore might have died from the fact that they didn't get heart surgery. And that's one example among many of some of the dysfunctions that occur. It's what we sometimes call creaming. That is, if you're going to be measured and rewarded on something, then you take the easiest cases. And you find that in all sorts of organizations. So, for example, when schools are evaluated by the success rate of their students on standardized tests, you often find that schools then try to make sure that the students who are less likely to do well are removed from the testing pool by classifying them as disabled or in some other way. So again, you cream off the subjects that are likely to be most successful and you eliminate the rest as a way of improving your scores.
Speaking to author Jerry Mueller, whose book The Tyranny of Metrics is out on Princeton University Press in paperback. Another one that really interests me is the crime rates and policing. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that?
It's a widespread phenomenon in policing. that when police departments are told by political authorities, say by the mayor, that they need to reduce the incidence of crime, so they need to reduce the crime rate, they often respond by reporting less crime. That is to say, there are some crimes that occur that are reported to the police that the police won't record, or more likely, they will take serious crimes like grand theft that are tracked by the FBI, and they will record them as more minor crimes. And in that way, they're able to bring down the recorded crime rate without actually bringing down the number of crimes that are committed and reported.
You're not someone who argues that all measurement is without value, but it seems like so much of your message here is you've got to combine measurement with judgment based upon experience. What gets measured gets done is another one of these beliefs that you challenge. Why do you think that thinking is so pervasive?
Well, the notion that what gets measured gets done is pervasive because, first of all, it seems to offer a solution to problems of organizations, and every organization has some kind of problem, and that seems like a ready solution. It also seems scientific because there's measurement that occurs, and science has a kind of aura in our society, which it rightfully should when it's real science, but not when it's pseudoscience. And the issue here is that if you measure and reward something in an organization, then a few things can happen. One thing is people in the organization could focus their activity on the things that are measured and rewarded. But that means they're not paying attention or they're diverting attention from other aspects of their job or other purposes of the organization that aren't being rewarded and that aren't being measured and aren't being rewarded. So it leads to a diversion of energy and attention away from other aspects of the job. Then there's the fact that in many organizations, some of the most important elements of work are things that are not easily measured or perhaps impossible to measure. So in an organization, for example, the role of mentoring, that is to say, teaching those who are more junior than you how to do their job, how the organization works, that sort of thing. In many organizations, whether or not mentoring happens properly is the difference between a really well-functioning organization where people want to work and a minimally functioning organization where they don't want to work or just showing up for a paycheck. But something like mentoring is very difficult to measure. And in general, when you have this phenomenon of trying to measure and then reward and punish, people often fall prey to what we sometimes call measurability bias. That is to say, they emphasize the things that are most easily measured at the expense of many elements of their job that are not easily measurable.
The Financial Times calls The Tyranny of Metrics required reading for any manager. And that's one of the reasons that I wanted to pick this up as the manager of our radio station. But so much of your thinking about this comes from the perspective of the managed. So wouldn't you also argue your book is required reading for all workers?
Yes. It was only really when I finished the book that I realized that it's actually a book about management. But it's a book about management that's distinguished from most management books in that it tends to look at things from the perspective of the managed. And of course, to be a good manager, you have to understand how things look and what sort of incentives you have in place and what kind of an atmosphere you're creating for the people who you're managing, the people who are working under you. And I have found in the time since the book has been out that many people from a wide variety of realms either come up to me at talks or send me emails or letters telling me that I have articulated and expressed frustrations that they've had in their workplace and have been trying to and would like their managers and organizational executives to pay attention to. And I hope that by articulating it in social, scientific, and philosophical terms, that people who are managers will read it and pay attention to its messages in ways that will make their workplaces more pleasant and ultimately more productive.
Jerry Muller is professor of history at the Catholic University of America and the author of many books. We're talking about the tyranny of metrics. Thank you so much for speaking to KD&K.
My pleasure.